We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 15th chapter, verses 10 through 28. This is verse 10. Shri Raja Vakshana Kalyumvam Gyan Sampana Mahishta Chamahi Sam Avadurke Shina Gudhavina Samakta. King Chitraketra said, "You have both come here just like Avadutas, liberated persons, just to cover your identities. But I see that of all men, you are the most elevated in awareness. You know everything as it is. Therefore, you are the greatest of all great personalities." So what do you remember from Virajan Prabhu's class yesterday? Okay, this life is like a false dream, and we should not waste our time in the dream, but we should use our time for Krishna consciousness. Okay, anybody else? Is it a real dream? What is your question?
It's a false dream.
A false dream.
What you just said, it's like a dream.
It's just like a dream.
It's like a dream, but it's not false.
Yeah.
It's that way.
It's like a dream in the sense that it's temporary, but it's not false. Okay, no matter what we try to do in this life, to collect or to achieve, it will not come true. Only if we engage in devotional service, that will come true. Yes? Right. So, let me see if I can remember all that. So first, the whole kingdom was overwhelmed with grief, but then in 7 shlokas, Narada and Angira changed the consciousness of Chitraketu by their knowledge, and they selected the appropriate time to tell him. They didn't go, actually, before. They could have given him theoretical knowledge, but instead they gave him realized knowledge. They could have given him the same knowledge before, but he was not ready to hear it because he had such a strong desire to have a son. But now that he had lost his son, now he was ready to hear the knowledge. Anything else? Okay, back in the dream, temporary illusory dream. You shouldn't try to fix the dream, improve the dream.
Yeah.
Yes, the dream is unfixable. It's interesting though, my son says whenever he dreams, he knows he's dreaming actually. He always knows that he's dreaming.
Yes, I think everyone
is. You also all know. I don't always know, I get into it. I don't know. You know you're in the dream, you always know.
I'm a certain person. So he said that.
Interesting.
Krishna consciousness.
Gotcha. Okay. Yes.
Krishna consciousness is fixed. Can fix the.
Okay.
You know, can fix things.
The Krishna consciousness can fix things.
But we should not try to fix things through the dream.
So, but we should not try to fix things that are part of the dream, part of the illusion.
No.
Don't think that it's a permanent place for us to live. Yes.
Because this false dream, it did not exist before our birth.
Okay, it did not exist before our birth, and it will not exist after our death.
So what's the meaning of this?
Yes.
From this
I think one of the verses later on, he preached like that this child, he was not before his birth, he had no relation, and after his death, there is no relation. Yes. 2:9:1. Yes.
Says Atmamayam Nitya Gajan.
Yes.
Parashan Bhavatmaha. Very nice verse.
That was the answer of Shukadev to Maharaj Pariksit's question.
Yes.
Unless we're illusioned by the illusory energy, there is no meaning of the soul covered by the body.
Yes. And then
so we're
an example of a dream again.
The dream.
That relationship of connecting with the body is just like a dream is seeing his own body walking.
Just like a dreamer seeing his own body walking with his head cut off,
working.
I was thinking when you the head cut off and you see your head cut off.
That's in the subject.
That's again.
This one is 2:9.
Oh, that's 2:9:1. Okay.
So there is no question for Atma.
Atma, Mayam, Vicharatam. There's no question of being illusion unless we
are true. Canto 2, chapter 9, verse 1. Okay, look it up. So verse 11, Brahmanas who are exalted to the position of Vaishnavas, the most dear servants of Krishna, Sometimes dress like madmen. Who did that? Who dresses like madmen? Vaishnavas. Do we know any Vaishnavas? They dress like madmen? Avadhuta. Yeah, who? Who is this Avadhuta?
Nityananda.
Rishabdev. Jadavara. Okay. We know somebody. Anybody in ISKCON? No, hopefully. Oh, Kushakrata. Okay, we have our Avadhut. Kushakrata Prabhu, who is... Yeah, I know. He used to teach class and he had this huge sweater and he would swing the sweater. teach class. Yeah, I know. Actually, I was there when he joined. I was in the same temple. Yeah, Prabhupada said he was... I remember he was... We had a lot of crazy people. He didn't stand out that much in our temple, Boston Temple. When I joined, he was just like almost the norm. A lot of crazy. Patita Dharan also did crazy things as well. Okay, so verse 11. We're still in that. Just to benefit materialists like us, who are always attached to sense gratification, and just to dissipate our ignorance, these Vaishnavas wander on the surface of the globe according to their desire. Verse 12, O great souls, I have heard that among the great imperfect persons wandering the surface of the earth to instruct knowledge to people covered by ignorance are Sanat Kumara, Narada, Vibhu, Angira, Devala, Asita, Appantaratama, Vyasadeva, Markandeya Gotam, Vashishta, Bhagavan Parshuram, Kapila, Shukadev, Durvasa, Yogyavakya, Jatukarna, and Aruni. Others are Romasa, Charvana, Dattatreya, Asuri, Patanjali, the great sage Dhomya, who is like the head of the Vedas, the sage Panchashika, Hiranyanaba, Kaushalya, Shutadev, and Rita Tvaj. You must certainly be among them. So did he get... He got them, right? Angira and Narada. He guessed. Yeah, they came in disguise, so he guessed who they were. So most of these we are familiar with. I'll just ask you, Ribhu, does anybody know Ribhu? Just see the ones we don't know. Gotam, he's a famous rishi. Vashishta, we know. Parashuram, Kapila, Shukadev, Durvasa. Yajnavalkya, Jatukarna. Anybody know who's Jatukarna? And Aruni? Okay, Romasa? No. We know Charvana, Dattatreya, Asuri, I don't know. Patanjali, we know. Dhomya, we know. Panchashika. Okay, anyway, let's go on. Purport paragraph 3, the second sentence struck me. The word Panchashika is also important. One who is liberated from the conceptions of Anamaya, Pranamaya, Manamaya, Vigyanamaya, and Anandamaya, and who is perfectly aware of the subtle coverings of the soul is called Panchashika. Now, I understand why we should be liberated from Anamaya, Pranamaya, Manamaya, and Vijnanamaya. But why should we be liberated from Anandamaya? I couldn't quite get that. Seems like that's what we want, right? We want Anandamaya, we want relationship with Krishna. Anyway, Panchashika. So I have another verse here from 4th canto, 30th chapter, 28th verse by the Pachetas. It's very similar to this verse, so I'll repeat it. Tesham vicharitam papyam tirtanam pavanecha vitasukim narocheta tavakanam samadhanam. Dear Lord, your personal associates, devotees, wander all over the world to purify even the holy places of pilgrimage. Is not such activity pleasing to those who are actually afraid of material existence? So these verses, this verse 12 and 13, and also the one from the Pachetas, this is glorifying Goshtya Nandis, who desire to increase the number of devotees, Srila Prabhupada says. So this was the desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted his followers to move all over the world to preach. And so this is what Prabhupada says. So the preachers must travel all over to preach the message of Lord Chaitanya Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, the same as preaching the words of Krishna. So any example of some preachers we know like that who wander everywhere? In ISKCON. Yeah, which ones? Indradyumna Maharaj. He's like a wandering preacher. Who else? Niranjana. He wanders a lot, right? You go with him. All over Ukraine, is it? Or Russia, CIS? Moldova. Gotcha. And that is Niranjana Swami as well. Niranjana Swami, Jayapataka Swami also. He's all over the world. So we have our wandering preachers. So I have an example here of one wandering preacher. Actually, he does Food for Life in South Africa. And how he goes and he doesn't care for his own life even. He risks his life. So I just like to read a little bit about his story. He's a disciple of Indradyumna Swami. His name is Lakshminath. This was written in 2002. And at that time, for more than 5 years, he was practically single-handedly cooking and distributing over 50,000 plates of prasadam each week in the rural areas north of Durban, known as KwaZulu-Natal. The region is inhabited by Zulus, the largest tribe in South Africa. Many Zulus live in utter poverty, knowing that crime is rampant in the area and the presence of white people in the South African townships is not appreciated by those who suffered under apartheid. Aya hesitated to go, so he was inviting Indradyumna Swami to go there. Last month, Lakshminath's Food for Life van was hijacked at gunpoint in broad daylight. He had stopped to give some prasadam to a few young children on the side of the road when three men pulled up in a car, jumped out, aimed an AK-47 at him while demanding the keys to his van. So this is happening all the time in South Africa. People from South Africa, they tell me that these people, they usually kill you and take your car. They don't just, you just have the gun, they shoot you, just and take your car and go. This is in South Africa. So Lakshminath got out of the van slowly and stepped to the side. The men jumped in the van and sped off with a quarter ton of prasadam inside. When the police found the van 5 hours later in a nearby township, it had been stripped of everything, engine, doors, windows, tires, and even the prasadam. Since then, another group of men tried to hijack his new van. He was driving through a township when a gang blocked the road. Several men came forward and again demanded the keys to the van. Not seeing any weapons this time, Lakshminath refused. He said, "I'm feeding your people. Why do you want to stop me?" One of the men replied, "Where do you get the money to feed us?" "From God," Lakshminath answered. "But why doesn't God take care of me?" The man shot back. And Lakshminath screamed at him, "If you call out to him, maybe he will. Why don't you chant Hare Krishna?" Startled, the man stepped back and said to his friends, "Let him go." Lakshminath drove off, but he stopped a few hundred meters away. Taking the big pots from the back of the van, he yelled, "Hare Krishna, come and get prasadam." Soon, several hundred people gathered with bowls in their hands to receive the Lord's mercy. His boldness and determination have made Hare Krishna a household word among the Zulus. Wherever you drive in the greater Durban area, little Zulu children are often seen begging at stoplights. Whenever a devotee drives up, they start jumping up and down excitedly, calling out, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." But instead of asking for money, they ask for prasadam. Their enthusiasm alone is evidence of Lakshminath's service. So this is part of a letter, I think it's Indradyumna Maharaj's diary. One Srila Prabhupada was walking on the beach in Mumbai with some of his disciples. At one point, a little girl walked by and with folded hands said to Srila Prabhupada, "Hare Krishna." Srila Prabhupada smiled, turned to his disciples and said, "You see how successful our movement is?" Confused, one devotee asked, "Successful?" "Yes, Srila Prabhupada," replied. "If you take just one drop of the ocean and taste it, you can understand what the whole ocean tastes like. Similarly, by this one girl greeting us with Hare Krishna, we can appreciate how far the chanting of the Lord's name has spread." So then he quotes from Chaitanya Chandramrita, "One who is untouched by any piety, who is completely absorbed in irreligion, or who has never received the merciful glance of the devotees or been to any holy place sanctified by them, will still ecstatically dance, loudly sing, and even roll about on the ground when he becomes intoxicated by tasting the nectar of the transcendental mellows of pure love of God given by Lord Chaitanya. Let me therefore glorify Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is Chaitanya Chandramrita 1-2, not Charitamrita. So this is an example of the preaching, the risking their lives. You're also risking your life up in Nepal, right? So this is going on. We have our preachers and they're wandering the surface of the earth to spread Krishna consciousness. So now Chitraketu reveals his change of heart. Because you are a great personality, so you can give me real knowledge. I am as foolish as a village animal, like a pig or a dog, because I emerged in the darkness of ignorance. Therefore, please ignite the torch of knowledge to save me. Why is he comparing himself to a pig or dog? Why? Why pig? Yeah.
Because animals, they don't manifest consciousness which can make one able to understand that something.
Okay, animals like pigs and dogs don't manifest the consciousness by which they can understand transcendental knowledge. Any other reason why he's comparing himself to a pig? Okay, all he wanted was a son. Okay, and the pigs and dogs have the same idea? They just want to have children? Okay, verse 16. No, the purport of verse 16, six lines down. Only one who is actually eager to receive knowledge, to eradicate the darkness of ignorance, is eligible to approach a guru or a spiritual master. So this is the only reason you can approach a guru, not artho, artarti, jigyasu. The guru should not be approached for material benefits. One should not approach a guru just to cure some disease or receive some miraculous benefit. This is not the way to approach the guru. Tadvigyanartham, one should approach the guru to understand the transcendental science of spiritual life. Unfortunately, in this age of Kali, there are many bogus gurus who display magic to their disciples. And many foolish disciples want to see such magic for material benefits. These disciples are not interested in pursuing spiritual life to save themselves from the darkness of ignorance. It is said, Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyanjana Shalaya Chakshunitanyana Tasmanshi Vaneyama. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes to the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. This gives a definition of the guru. Everyone is in the darkness of ignorance. Therefore, everyone needs to be enlightened with transcendental knowledge. One who enlightens his disciple and saves him from rotting in the darkness of ignorance in this material world is a true guru. So here Prabhupada gives some of the symptoms of bogus gurus. One symptom, they display magic. Another symptom, what else does he say? To cure, they just cure disease. They give some vibhuti or ash. So this, yes, there are, even in Vrindavan, there's many who give this vibhuti or ash to cure disease. Even I had this Ayurvedic book because I was looking up for cures for my boil, and it said you mix some ghee with vibhuti, ash, and you put it on the boil. So it's quite common in India. Of course, this may not be bogus, but actually it is bogus according to the definition of real guru here given. So what are some other symptoms of bogus gurus? If somebody is looking for a guru, and of course he doesn't know, then what should he watch out for? Dhamma Krishna? Okay, he's not servant of his guru and he thinks himself God. Yes?
Do I have a report? Yeah, we can name them kangaroos.
Kangaroos? Kangaroos.
They jump from one
kangaroos. You got it?
They jump and they just fill up their pocket with
They money. Jump and fill up their pocket with money. Kangaroos. Kangaroo. Kangaroo? Can we separate it and we get kangaroo?
Guru,
yes.
Real guru is concerned about disciples' welfare, so
Okay, real guru is concerned for the disciples' welfare, so he'll teach him how to appreciate the society of Vaishnavas. Yes? Yes?
Focus guru will criticize others and focus our attention on himself, so he'll create a sect around him.
Okay, bogus gurus will criticize others and he'll focus attention on himself and then he'll create a sect around himself.
The real guru connects and bogus guru will disconnect.
The real guru connects one to Krishna and the false guru disconnects one to Krishna. Just he is the center, connects everybody to him. Oh, that's a good one, yeah.
They are not from bona fide
succession. Okay, I was thinking of that also. They are not from bona fide succession. They have no parampara. Yes, Patri.
Yes.
Okay, so this is about disciple or guru?
No, they claim to be guru.
Oh, they claim to be guru. And they're using their own guru and the shastra. And then later they reject the guru and shastra. These are some of the symptoms. Yes, Nishina. Hypnotize.
Yeah.
Or they have some mystic powers where they can control people, or they hypnotize people, and then what do?
They collect a big crowd to show that they are big gurus.
Actually, they collect a big crowd, and then they collect money from the big crowd.
And
they get opulence. Then they make big buildings. Okay? They give their own interpretation to scriptures. Okay? Yes, what else? Yes, they gang up with atheists.
Propagate, first of all, to fool the pseudo-religionists.
Yes.
And
to fool the pseudo-religionists?
By spreading atheism.
By spreading atheism, guised in some philosophy or
watered-down sentiment.
Watered-down sentiment. Yes.
The focus gurus, they attract to themselves those who are not sincere.
Okay, they attract to themselves those who are not sincere, who want something cheap and quick and fast.
They try to teach by saying what others didn't give.
Okay, they're teaching. What do you say that again?
They are attracting to themselves by saying that another guru didn't give everything.
Oh yeah, they're attracting others to them by saying that, oh, this guru didn't give you this. Only I can give you this. Okay, that's good. Yeah.
Sometimes gurus are curing many people.
Yeah, they are curing people. Yeah, one guru was curing people, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur stopped him. He was doing nice welfare work, but Bhaktivinoda did not appreciate it. Why didn't he appreciate it? All this nice, you know, cheaper than doctor. Not real purpose, not cure of the soul. Must be, he must have been doing something else besides curing people. Then Bhaktivinoda didn't like. Perhaps he was saying that he was God as well. As well, he was putting himself as God and therefore he could give all these cures. Okay, Madhavan?
They want to prolong the golden shackles of natural bondage.
They want to prolong the golden shackles of material bondage.
Under
the shadow of philanthropic activities.
Disguised
as religious principles. Yes?
The real guru will say that he is just a servant of his spiritual master and nothing more, but disciples will see in him good qualities. But the focus guru will say that he has connection with God, he is very close to God, he is.
The bogus guru will say he has a connection, he's really close to God, but actually he's the opposite. Okay, last one.
Being a good psychologist, they know the propensities of their disciples. They're using their desire to gratify their material senses. And
okay.
They're giving them this.
So
that's why they attracted so many people.
The bogus gurus are giving sense gratification. And there was one in when we were in Bombay.
Rajneesh.
Yeah, Rajneesh. Yeah, he was in Pune. And Yes, like just enjoy first and renounce later. But the renounce later never comes. Enjoy now, renounce later.
So actually, these false gurus, they are not actually concerned about the welfare of the public.
No.
But they are taking them to hell.
Yes, they are taking them to hell. Right. Yes, so many are there. So Prabhupada gave an example here. One artificial god was teaching his disciple, and he would touch the disciple's head, and the disciple would feel an electric shock. And then the guru would fall down and say, "Oh, I lost all my knowledge, I'm finished now. I gave it all to you." So Prabhupada said, "What kind of guru is that, that you lose your knowledge? What kind of god is that? What verse defeats that, that he loses if he gives?" Om Purnamada Purnamidam. That's the one that Prabhupada quotes. This is definition of God. He's so perfect. If you take everything away, still he has everything. So these are some of the things that they preach. And Prabhupada gave a definition in teachings of Kapiladeva. Tadvijnana means transcendental to material understanding. So if you want to understand something that is transcendental, you have to go to guru. And guru means heavy with knowledge. And the knowledge is tat vijnana. So let's see, what else here? Another thing Prabhupada says, a symptom of a bogus guru is he cannot give Krishna to the disciple. He cannot give Krishna. This is another symptom. Prabhupada says how he cannot give Krishna according to the principle of rasa varja rasopyasya. He cannot give a higher taste. So therefore, he's bogus. And Prabhupada says, disciple will again become attracted to material happiness. So the honesty of the guru is, Prabhupada says, if you go from the post office and you take a money order and you're supposed to deliver that money order to the person, you don't look at it. You don't look at how much the money is. You just go and you take it and you deliver it. And so that is the real guru. So Prabhupada says, I'm not a magician. My only credit is I'm giving you Krishna as he is and not adulterating it. So verse 17, Angira said, my dear king, when you desired to have a son, I approached you. Indeed, I am the same Angira Rishi who gave you this son. As for this Rishi, he is the great sage, Narada, direct son of Lord Brahma. My dear king, you are an advanced devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To be absorbed in lamentation for the loss of something material is unsuitable for a person like you. Therefore, we have both come to relieve you from this false lamentation, which is due to your being merged in the darkness of ignorance. For those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge, to be affected by material loss and gain is not at all desirable. So just imagine, you're absorbed. Suppose you forget Krishna, and you get angry, or you're absorbed and you're distracted, and you're going off and eating some outside food or something. Some very beautiful devotees come up to you and start telling you, Prabhuji, what are you doing? Do you know what you're doing? So do you appreciate that when they come and tell you, or do you not appreciate it? Just leave me alone. I've been doing so much my whole life. And so now he's appreciating it. But he didn't appreciate it when they first came. So do you ever have that experience? Anybody like that? Do you fight it or do you accept it when somebody comes to you like that and wants to help you, wants to preach to you, some very exalted devotee or very exalted friend, when you're absorbed in trying to go away or trying to be distracted? No, yes. Anyway, you can, yes.
Tell one story.
You have, okay.
I will make it short.
Yeah, make it short.
Yeah, so one devotee, initiated devotee in Russia, was a very, very popular, famous, and became proud.
So one devotee in Russia was initiated and he became proud. He was very famous.
Yeah, so then he fell down for a few years.
He fell down for a few years.
And stayed as karmi somewhere in the city where there are no devotees.
And he stayed as a karmi in a city where there are no devotees.
And he, after 2 or 3 years, he became completely burnt with the, all the sense
gratification. Yeah, and after 2 or 3 years he became burnt with the sense gratification.
He decided to commit suicide.
Oh, he decided to commit suicide.
And he wanted to kill himself for sure.
He wanted to kill himself.
He asked one doctor if she can sell him very strong poison so that he will for sure die.
So he asked one doctor to sell him very strong poison so he would die for sure.
And she told him, she understood that he will anyway kill himself. So she said at a certain time, evening, come to such and such a place in the city, bring money, and I will give you the poison.
So she said, such and such time you come to this place in the city and I will give you the poison.
And by that time he was completely, he renounced everything. He gave up with the desire to leave. So he sold his flat. Sold everything what he had.
And he was, what did he do with the money? If he's going to kill himself, what is he going to do with the money?
He had to pay for poison.
So he had to pay a high price for... Yeah, it's illegal.
Yeah.
He had to pay a high price for the poison. Okay.
By that time he was completely renounced from everything.
He's renounced from everything material.
Yeah, so he went on the highway and he stopped one car to take and drive to the place.
So he went to the highway, he stopped the car to drive him to the place.
Yeah.
Hitchhike. So the driver said, do you mind if I put my favorite tape on to play while we drive?
And then he put on bhajans of his own spiritual master.
Bhajans of his spiritual master? Of the
one who was committing
suicide. Put bhajans of his spiritual master.
And at that moment only, at that day only, he was already kind of hooked enough by Maya. So he said, okay, are you going to the temple? Are you the devotees? So take me there. Don't take me to the place where I want you to drive me. So take me to the Hare Krishna.
He said, okay, don't take me to the place where I want you. Wanted you to drive me, take me to the temple instead.
Yeah, so he returned and became very humble devotee.
Then he returned and became very humble devotee.
So, but before he was...
happy ending.
Before he was still attached to sense gratification, he felt shy and guilty to return to the devotees.
Before he was shy and guilty to return.
So he was avoiding their association for a few years, actually.
He was avoiding the devotees.
But at the day when he finally decided to give up everything, and then a few hours before he would die, Krishna sent him the devotee.
Yeah, so Krishna sent him, his guru, again,
and then
he was ready to die.
It took 1 second to convert him back.
So it took him 1 second to convert him back.
King Chitraketu was also hooked.
Yeah, King Chitraketu was like that, and then Narada and Angira appeared. He was in such lamentation, amazing, like almost dying, he and his wife.
Who played that scene, the driver?
The driver. The
driver was just
devotee. The driver was a devotee. So he played the CD, and the guy got saved. Huh. So, let's read the purport. Several words in this verse are very important. The word Mahapurusha refers to advanced devotees and also to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maha means the Supreme and Purusha means person. One who always engages in the service of the Supreme Lord is called Mahapurushika. Shukadeva Goswami Maharaj Pariksit are sometimes addressed as Mahapurushika. A devotee should always aspire to engage in the service of advanced devotees. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung, Tahare chalam shi bhakti samyash, janame chalamayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayay
devotees and engage in the service of the Lord through the Parampara system. One should serve the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the instructions of the great Goswamis of Vrindavan. This is called Tahadev Charan Sevi. What are the instructions of the Goswamis? Here it says, we're supposed to serve the mission. Does everybody know the instructions of the six Goswamis? Yes?
We have to keep on paying posterior obeisances.
Keep paying obeisances regularly. Regulative obeisances. What are the instructions, Adi Purush?
Same as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's.
Of Namakirtan, Vaishnav, Seva, and Jiva Doya. And which verse is that of Shikshastakam? Namakirtan, Vaishnav Seva, Chanarapi, Sunichena, Torariva, Sahishna. I know that because that's Radhanath Swami's slogan. Jiva Doya, Namakirtan, Vaishnav Seva. Those three. They're all from Chanarapi, Sunichena. Yes? Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale. To spread the desires of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is called Tadir Charanasevi. While serving the lotus feet of the Goswamis, one should live in association of devotees, Bhakta Shanivash. This is the business of a devotee. I was listening, it was a few months ago, one sannyasi was giving class, and he was saying, yeah, all I have is my sleeping bag. All I need is 6 feet of space so I can sleep and some service and I'm happy. And so this is what Prabhupada used to say also. A little prasad, some service, that's all a devotee needs. And he added six feet of space to sleep. So we also need that too. 6 feet of space to sleep. And of course, as we also added the computer, the preacher. Don't forget the computer. We need the computer as well, unless you have computer in your brain. And so these are the items of the traveling preacher devotee. Of course, in the time of Goswamis, there were no computers. So therefore, they had to remember. This is the business of a devotee. A devotee should not aspire for material profit or lament for material loss. When Angira Rishi and Narada saw that Maharaj Chitraketu, an advanced devotee, had fallen in the darkness of ignorance and was lamenting for the material body of his son, by their causeless mercy they came to advise him so he could be saved from this ignorance. Another significant word is Brahmanya. Supreme Personality of Godhead is sometimes addressed by the prayer Namo Brahmanya Devaya, which offers obeisances unto the Lord because he is served by the devotees. Therefore, this verse states, Ramanyo Bhagavad Bhakto Navasa Ditam Arhasi. This is a symptom of an advanced devotee. Ramabhuta Prasanatma. For a devotee, an advanced self-realized soul, there is no cause for material jubilation or lamentation. He is always transcendental to conditional life. Why is there no lamentation for a devotee? Yes?
Krishna Bhakta Nishkam.
Krishna Bhakta Nishkam. Atta Eva Shanta. Yes? No material. There is spiritual lamentation.
Yeah, they might lament for the material things they've done.
Okay, they might regret or lament that I wasted so much of my life uselessly, or I did such nonsense things. Any other lamentation for a devotee? Yes?
For example,
you explained
that devotees did not focus for a long time on their deeds.
Okay, you don't focus. They don't focus a long time on their past deeds. Positive, yes. So positive. We should be very positive. We can lament for a little bit, but then we should move on to the positive. Okay. So, but we saw that, you know, that when Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj died, we were discussing yesterday all about grief. That the devotee laments. The ones who are left here, they lament. So what is the lamentation of the devotee?
Separation.
From Vaishnava. And that is the only miserable, what is the most miserable thing? Was that Ramananda Roy who answered the question of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is the suffering, and that is separation from a devotee of the Lord. So why doesn't, of course we know why the devotee doesn't lament if somebody dies. Because the life is continuous. And again, I'll repeat the story I told previously of one devotee giving Bhagavatam class in London. And he was lamenting. He was keeping it in his heart for years, it must have been 20 years, that he was driving the Sankirtan van when he got in an accident. And one of the devotees, book distributors in the van, was a brahmachari, and the brahmachari died in the accident. So then after the class, when Mataji came up to him and said, Prabhu, don't worry, it's all right.
I'm the brahmachari. How is that brahmachari? She just came and said, I remember my last life, and I was the brahmachari. What's her name? Gunavati? Rangavati. Rangavati. And she said, Ratnavali. She says, I'm back distributing books. So she was out, she's going out 8 hours a day distributing books. So she remembered her last life, and not only that, she phoned up Revati Nandan and tried to talk to him to bring him back to the Association of Devotees. And he was quizzing her all the details, and she was answering all the questions. Yes, I was there, I know this person, I know that, I remember that incident. And so therefore, ISKCON continues, and we all meet again. It's and when I was in Mayapur, this March, yeah, I think it was March, no, I was there in April. And it was the birthday of Jayapataka Swami Maharaj, and the Vyas Puja offering of Bhakti Tirtha Swami was very nice. He had not left his body yet, but he made a Vyas Puja offering to Jayapataka Maharaj. And he said, I'm not saying goodbye, because I'll see you soon. He said, this life, you are my elder god brother, but next life, I'll be born before you. So, see you soon. That was his Vyas Puja offering of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj to Jayapataka Maharaj. They were very friendly and close. And he did phone Jayapataka Maharaj, and Jayapataka came to see him before he left at one point. Verse 20. Angira is speaking. When I first came to your home, I could have given you the supreme transcendental knowledge. But when I saw that your mind was absorbed in material things, I gave you only a son, who caused you jubilation and lamentation. And so Bharijan, I have a quote, comment from Bharijan here, that strong, if we have very strong material desires, then that will impede our spiritual progress. So we should become convinced about the true nature of the material world, especially after hearing fifth and sixth cantos, the force of material enjoyment. And every desire we have, Bharija Prabhu said, is a prayer. Every desire, every material desire, a prayer for something. And what I understood is every desire is a seed in our heart for another body. Another body, another body, another body. Every desire. So we should not keep these desires. And every worry, this is what Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj said, if you have a worry in your mind, every worry, like sometimes you worry about, at least I worry about my son or this or that, and you think, you imagine what, you know, if he doesn't come home, whoa, what happened to him? Maybe this happened, maybe that. So he said, every worry is a prayer for what we don't want to happen. Every worry, every time we worry about something or with ourselves too, then it's a prayer for something we don't want to happen. Yes. Oh, yes.
About desires.
About desires.
One pujari, many years ago, he in Krishna Balaram Mandir, pujari of Krishna Balaram.
Pujari of Krishna Balaram Mandir.
One morning he didn't wake up for morning shift.
Oh, he didn't wake up for his puja.
He didn't have alarm clock, so somehow he missed it.
He didn't have alarm clock.
One morning he was lamenting. So. I need this good alarm clock.
So a whole morning he was lamenting that, oh, I need a really good alarm clock.
So, and then he said after lunch, he didn't tell anyone.
He didn't tell anyone.
After lunch something happened, miracle happened. That,
miracle happened after lunch?
Six different people came.
Six different people came?
And all of them offered him, just by chance, they thought, different alarm clocks. And by the evening he had all of them.
So after lunch, about six different people came to give him alarm clocks. Yes, we have experience, so much experience like this.
He was telling me the story. He said that he was very, very afraid to desire anything else material.
After that, he was really afraid to desire anything else material. Yes, Vanamala?
Like, enthusiastically, Draupadi prayed five times.
Oh yeah, Draupadi asked five times for a husband. Here's another example. And she got five husbands.
Prayed six times.
Yeah, maybe ask six times for an alarm clock. Yes?
Dhruva Maharaj also, he wondered, he got it. But then he said, no, I don't know, no, you won't get it.
Yes. Dhruva Maharaj, he said, I want a kingdom, I want a kingdom. Then he got the kingdom, he said, I don't want a kingdom. Yes. Yeah, go ahead. What?
And Krishna said, no, you want it.
Krishna said, you must take it. You wanted it. Yeah, I read something just recently where it says that you may desire something and then the Lord fulfills your desire and you don't want it, but then the Lord says, no, this you wanted previously, so you must have it. I know what you previously wanted. Even when the devotee becomes free from all desires, the Lord remembers what, oh yeah, this is going to come up in a purport. Yeah, okay, I won't talk about it now. It's going to come up in some purport or something. Yeah.
Can you cancel them out?
Yeah, how do you cancel them out? You know, by chanting, yes.
Ask Krishna to cancel them.
Yes, Adi Prush. Okay, you become indifferent to having it or not having it. That's a good idea. So what, now we have all these material desires. Well, maybe we have just a few seeds. But we want spiritual desires. So what will help us gain spiritual desires? What's the fastest? We're always looking for the best way. Yes?
Hearing,
okay? I think so. Hearing is good.
Hearing.
Reading, hearing, that's the same. Yes? All five most powerful forms of devotional service. Then we can, that will help us get spiritual desires. There's a verse in Bhagavad Gita. Anybody know? About, yes, you got it? I can't remember the beginning of it either. It's in the 12th chapter. Is that the one I'm thinking of? Yeah, I think Patatum. No. Okay, anyway, look it up. Today our brains are frazzled. It's 12. What? Atachitam samatatum nashaknosi mayistinam. If you cannot always think of me, then. Abhyasa yogena tato mam ichaptum, Dhananjaya. If you cannot always think of me, Bhagavad Gita, 12th chapter, verse 9, then engage in regulative devotional service, sadhana bhakti, abhyasa, practice. And then you will develop a desire to attain to me. So sadhana bhakti is the way to develop a desire to attain to Krishna, according to Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita. So we'll go on to verses 21-23. My dear king, now you are actually experiencing the misery of a person who has sons and daughters. O king, owner of the state of Shivasena, one's wife, his house, opulence of his kingdom, his various other opulences and objects of sense perception are all the same in that they are temporary. One's kingdom, military power, treasury, servants, ministers, friends and relatives are all causes of fear, illusion, lamentation and distress. They are like a Gandharva Nagara, non-existent palace that one imagines to exist in the forest. Because they are impermanent, they are no better than illusions, dreams, and mental concoctions. So, I think hardly anyone in this class has sons and daughters. I think maybe one, two, three sons and daughters. Sons or daughters. You have? Oh, you do have. Wow. You know the misery? What's the misery? Enlighten us. Of course, I already know too. Let us hear. What is the misery of having sons and daughters?
You make a plan for them.
You make a plan for them?
It never comes out.
Yes, you have so many plans. Oh, this child. Of course, you were before, you were not a devotee. You had some plans for them. That they would be this, they would be that, they would come out like this. And it didn't come out. We also have plans, devotee parents. Oh, my son will be a great preacher. He should learn Sanskrit and can't even learn English, you know, what to speak of Sanskrit. So,
all your plans are just like, you know, just, oh, okay, Krishna, please do something with him. Engage him. Yes.
But everyone is, once they are children of some parents, like my mother having so much plan for me.
Oh, your mother had plans for you. So many plans, yes?
So much money I earn. She's expecting.
She was thinking, he will earn so much money, this son of mine. And what did you do? You became...
I earned money.
You did earn money. Oh. So she was happy for some time. Did you leave before she died? She died or she's alive?
She died.
She died, yeah. Did you become devotee or?
She's standing
somewhere. Oh, she was, okay, good. So we have, I have a list of the miseries here. Just a few things. That when the kid gets sick, then you suffer more than the kid. Because you see, oh, he has temperature, oh my God, what will happen if he dies? Oh, this, so you suffer more than they suffer. Like they're suffering, you suffer. And if they die, just so you become like Chitraketu. If you think they're lost, then you go crazy. You know, like when my son was, you know, before he was 2 years old, he learned how to ride a tricycle. And as soon as he got his tricycle, he was just off. And we were living in a village, and he would just go across the big busy highway and I wouldn't know where he was, you know. So just, it's extreme anxiety. He wasn't even 2 years old. Yeah.
I did that to my mother.
You did that to your mother. How many of us did this to our parents?
As soon as I learned walking.
As soon as you learned to walk?
This is something to push.
Yeah.
And as soon as I got on my feet, and so I was in the courtyard in the farm.
In the farm.
And my mother was laying in the house, and after some time she went mad like this.
Yeah.
She saw that the child is no more in the courtyard, and they were living in the countryside.
In the country, right. Yeah.
And so she started running everywhere, calling her father from the field, and they started running, taking bicycles and motorcycles to go and find the police or something. Somebody stole my child, she thought.
Somebody stole my child.
And as they were looking like this, then they found me already at 300 meters, which is a lot for a kid.
And just learn how to walk.
I was on the road and I was going.
Yeah, and then when? How old were you when you left home?
I left home when I was 17.
17. Then she actually did that. She said goodbye and went on the road.
I'm meditating all the time.
From the age of?
From the age of small. I was meditating.
So from the age of one or two, or from the age you could think, she was thinking when she could leave home. And then she just left at the age of seven. That was it. Goodbye. And you started walking, and then you went on Padayatra. Your career was from the age, we could see your career from the age of two. Padayatra.
And my father and my mother, they asked me when I was actually leaving.
When you were ready to leave home.
Yeah. So my father and mother, they asked.
That your father and mother asked you?
They asked, when are you leaving?
They asked, when are you leaving?
And because I could not, I knew their suffering. So I was very, it was so much pain, I was very much anxious how I would tell them that I'm leaving. So I would not dare to say. So I was waiting. Last minute, I could not tell them. Then finally I said, you know, I'm leaving. And so they said, when? Then I said, tomorrow morning.
So they said, when? You said, tomorrow morning.
Yeah, so already they were shocked. Huh? Tomorrow? And I said, yes, I'm leaving tomorrow morning. And then next thing they asked, it was, where are you going?
Where are you going?
And that was much worse.
That was the worst question.
I said, I don't know.
And you said, I don't know. So she just left and never went back and been on the road ever since until the curse stopped in Vrindavan. Yeah, Shukadeva Goswami left at the age of 16. Of course, that was as soon as he was born. Yes.
One of the extreme miseries I experienced was my son was 6 years
old. And your son was 6 years old?
And he had a tumor.
He had a tumor. My God, such a young child.
They had to amputate half.
His arm?
No, his lungs.
Oh, his lungs.
So they had to amputate one of his lungs.
They had to amputate his lung.
I got into the operation room, and after that, when he was in intensive care, it was.
You suffer so much when you see your child like that in intensive care.
And then I was already in the body of, in the sense that I was chanting.
You were chanting.
I'm not practicing. And then my wife, she wanted to have, like you said, his attention, the whole kind of sense gratification.
So she was trying to distract the boy to all kinds of sense gratification.
The boy was just.
But he was with all the tubes, right?
He was just from.
Between life and death. Yeah. And she's trying to show him all these cars and whatever.
And you see him with all these tubes and all these things.
Yeah, and just you can't see your kid like that. It's just like it's torture for the parents. So all of you who don't get married, it's very good. You don't have to go through this. And then when they go to school, you have to study for the exams. Because you have to help them, you know, they don't know, they don't learn in school, right? You have to spend nights up till midnight studying. Yes, she knows, her kid's in school now. And success or failure, it's your success or failure. When they fight with the other kids, it's their parents against you. The parents come over and say, your kid did this to my kid. What are you going to do about it? That happened. So these are the miseries. Oh, you have children as well.
It doesn't just stop there either.
It doesn't stop. It goes on.
It multiplies.
It multiplies.
Then you have
grandchildren. Oh. Then you get the grand. I haven't got that yet. Then you get the grandchildren. She has grandchildren. Oh, and then there's more trouble. So just see. You don't have to experience it. You can just hear about it.
Even Vyasadeva can.
Yeah, Vyasadeva suffered so much. His kid, he didn't even say hello. He just left to his right at birth. You couldn't do that. He took off right at birth. So, actually, but it's all a dream, right? Just temporary. It's like a dream. Illusion, here it says, they're no better than illusion, dream, and mental concoctions. Yes. So end of the purport. A sane man should be perfectly aware that these things will never be able to give him happiness. One must be situated in his spiritual identity and eternally serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a devotee. Angira Rishi and Narada Muni gave this instruction to Maharaj Chitraketu. So I have a verse here from Mukunda Bala Stotra. Bhava jaladi katam dhamma bhakta hatam sutra duhichi kamachitam palata kitana vishwa vishayata yena chitam sutra vivanam namatishanam ekavishya potpanyanam. The people in this vast ocean of birth and death are being blown about by the winds of material dualities. As they flounder in the perilous waters of sense indulgence with no boat to help them, they are sorely distressed by the need to protect their sons, daughters, and wives. Only the boat that is Lord Vishnu can save them. And so, there's a nice purport. Actually, Satyut Maharaj writes here, materialists sometimes philosophize dualities like heat and cold provide an interesting variety or spice to life. Have you heard people say that? It's very nice to have misery. Because if there was no misery, then how would we experience? Then we wouldn't appreciate the happiness. Spice, variety. In truth, however, he says, although we may romanticize about life in this temporary world, its main quality is misery. Prahlad Maharaj has described the world as a place where we meet up with things we don't want and are separated from what we love. We either hanker for what we lack or lament upon losing something valuable. And whenever we seem to run into smooth sailing on the sea of human affairs, we know, either consciously or at the back of our minds, we are being pursued by time, the ultimate destroyer. So,
what's the point of
This is Mukundamala Stotra, verse 11. Yeah. So verse 24. These visible objects, like wife, children, and property, are like dreams and mental concoctions. Actually, what we see is no permanent existence. It is sometimes seen and sometimes not. Only because of our past actions do we create such mental concoctions. And because of these concoctions, we perform further activities. Sometimes we feel attracted or repulsed by some person we've never met. We just see the person and think, oh, I don't like that person. So I don't know why, I just don't like her. Or else we think, oh, I want to meet that person. Why is that? Why do we feel like, why do we have this feeling sometimes? Yes? Previous life. Yeah, some karma to work out. Something like that. And this is all a mental concoction. Purport at the end, Prabhupada says, according to our mental concoctions, we work in various ways, desiring various achievements, and by nature and the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Karmana, Dhyana, Chena, we get the advantages we desire. Thus, we become more and more involved with material concoctions. This is the reason for our suffering in the material world. By one kind of activity, we create another, and they are all products of our mental concoction. So what is the Sanskrit for mental concoction?
Manorateya
nasati. Any other Sanskrit? So one is manoratha, and there's two more that are very similar. Manobhava, yeah. I think that's in this verse. Manorata, manobhava, and there's one more. Mano. Karma? Dharma. Manodharma. Manodharma. There's another one.
Sankalpa.
I'm thinking with Mano in the beginning. And it is Manorama. Manorama. Rama.
All right.
Rama. Manorama. I saw it somewhere. I don't know where. Manorama. Huh? Sankalpa. Okay. So, how to actually see things in reality? We're in this dream, and how to live in this dream? Actually, it's temporary, but still we're here. So we have to make the best use of a bad bargain. So I have something nice here to read you from Bhakti Tirtha Swami: Four Tools for Community Building. These are like four sutras in four relationships. Number one, treat everyone you encounter as if the success of your spiritual life depends upon the quality of your interactions with them. That's number one. Number two, reflect upon the person you love the most and aspire to treat everyone with the same quality of love. Number three, view all conflicts as your own fault first. Number four, realize the people in your present environment might very well be the people with whom you will live out your life and who will be with you at the time of death. So here there's experiences. The experience of Chichiketu, now he's being preached to and he's understanding the reality. When I was in Calcutta, there was one Bengali lady and she had two sons. One of her sons died suddenly in a boat accident or something. And she said, oh, anyway, he did not belong to me. God gave him to me, and God took him away. She was very philosophical for a mother, especially a Bengali mother. Very difficult. How you can... Yeah, usually they're very attached. But she was like that. She was amazing. She was chanting the Vaishnava. And then, anyway, so these are... There's another one here from Mukundamala Stotra. Vishna toye madana pavano duktamaho mimane dara vartitaya sahajagraha sangha pulicha sansara ke mahati janata machitaya shitama param bhoja bhavata bhavato bhaktina vampayaksha. O Lord of the Three Worlds, we are drowning in the vast ocean of samsara, which is filled with the waters of material hankering, with waves of illusion whipped up by the winds of lust, with whirlpools of wives and vast schools of sharks and other sea monsters who are our sons and daughters. O giver of all benedictions, please grant me a place on the boat of devotion that is your lotus feet. So here, it's like, instead of a dream, it's a nightmare, like the force of material enjoyment. So all the dear and familiar things, like the wife, the children, the son, they become fearful. So this is King Kulishekar, he's speaking that the family members, just like there are vicious beasts attacking us, or sharks in the ocean. So Jadabharat was saying the same thing to King Rahugana, that the family members are like tigers and jackals. So this is mantra 13 in Mukunda Mala Stotra. Yes. So verse 25. The living entity in the bodily conception of life is absorbed in the body, which is a combination of the physical elements. So this is actually what we're attached to. We're going to hear in this verse, what is the sum total of our attachment? The physical elements, five senses for gathering knowledge, five senses of action, along with the mind. Through the mind, the living entity suffers three kinds of tribulation, adibhautik, adidaivik, and adiatmik. Therefore, this body is a source of all miseries. So adiatmika is a... My son is always a very good example of adiatmika miseries, because he always gets these things, like a computer, he gets them and he thinks, this is what I need. I need a new computer, and I'll be happy. So he gets a new computer, and then the monitor is much bigger than the old one, and then he finds out he's going blind almost, his eyes are hurting him like anything. So he says, oh, this isn't what I want. And so then, now he wants something else. He didn't learn. Still, there's people in the world that go for one thing, and they think, no, that's not the right thing, it's something else. So now he's thinking it's a video camera. So anyway, this is not what we need. This is not what we need. So adidaivika, we all experience now this season. Adidaivika, it's easy to experience adidaivika because it's hot when you go to sleep. You turn the fan on, you open the windows, and then halfway through the night you're cold. And like today, I had the fan on, I woke up with a cold. So this is adidaivika. And when it's in summer season also, you put on the fan, then electricity goes off. Of course, we have a generator, but then the generator fails because the monkeys go and chew the line. And so we can't, ultimately all arrangements fail. So we just have to surrender. In the middle of the night, you can't sleep, you just chant Hare Krishna. The other night, what was it? Oh, night before last. It's 12 o'clock midnight. They put on the loudspeaker right next door. 12 o'clock midnight. They went from 12 until 5 in the morning. And that was it. You couldn't sleep. No way. You close your windows, it's still there. And I did sleep, and when I slept, I got nightmares because the music was so bad. And so these miseries, adidaivik and adibhautik, I have a nice... Of course, that's adibhautik. It's not adidaivik. The loudspeakers are adibhautik. Other living entities. When I was in Mayapur, one Maharaj gave class, and he gave a very interesting example of his adibhautik misery. He was in his room, and he was looking out the window. Right on the windowsill, there was a nest of baby birds. And so he got the bright idea, oh, I'm going to feed them prasadam. So he took some prasadam, and he was feeding the little babies. The mother got angry. And she didn't like that somebody else was doing her thing. So the next time Maharaj decided to have a little nap, the mother came and started screeching on the windowsill, screeching and screeching, and she wouldn't let him sleep. And this repeated for a few days. Every time Maharaj would try to sleep, then she would go and screech at him. So then finally, one devotee got the bright idea to pull the curtain when she screeched, so then she couldn't see him, so she stopped. But anyway, this is adibhautika. This was, what was the name of that sannyasi? Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. So anyway, we all have these miseries. Even if you take sannyas, you still have miseries in this world. You don't have the children, but then you have the mother bird, or you have somebody who's on your case. Verse 26. Therefore, O King Chittaketu, carefully consider the position of the Atma. In other words, try to understand who you are.
whether body, mind, or soul. Consider, where have you come from? Where you are going after giving up this body? And why you are under the control of material lamentation? Try to understand your real position in this way, and then you'll be able to give up your unnecessary attachment. You will also be able to give up the belief that this material world or anything not directly in touch with service to Krishna is eternal. Thus, you will obtain peace. So there was one book that my son had, someone gave him to read. And in that book it was saying that he understood the difference between the human being and animal. He said the human being is asking the question, where do I come from? What is my origin? But the guy who wrote the book thought, well, this is a stupid question. Why we should ask this question? So in the book he said, you should try repeating for a half an hour, I don't have to know where I came from. I don't have to know where I came from. It's like really idiotic. But anyway, yeah, so it's just like... And then he, another part of the book, he's asking, he gets two people to sit across from each other, and he asks a question, why is the sky blue? And the man says, well, the other person says, yes, I know, because I know it's blue. And then how do you know? And then he just, for a half hour, keep asking, how do you know, how do you know, how do you know, how do you know, until you go crazy. So this guy, you know, it's mental concoction, mental speculation, just drives you crazy. So he doesn't have information of the soul or the super soul. These things are lacking. He understood that, you know, we're here, we're in one point in the universe. Well, first he had, you know, in the city, and then he expanded to the universe. But he says, but we don't know what is beyond the other side of the universe. We don't know. Anyway, so these are mental concoctions that people are getting involved with here. And so here, this is transcendental knowledge. Consider where you have come from, where you are going after giving up this body, and why you are under the control of material lamentation. You will also be able to give up the belief that this material world or anything not directly in touch with service to Krishna is eternal. Thus, you will obtain peace. So what is the cause of suffering? Saying we should understand why you are suffering. What is the cause of suffering? Yes, Ankush? False identification. Yes. Necessary attachment. Unnecessary attachment. And what it says here, identification. Right, and there's no more suffering. So what I have here is that belief that the world without Krishna is eternal. So this is a cause of suffering, or this is what you should give up, this idea. Belief that the world without Krishna is eternal. So here it says, you should give up belief this material world or anything not directly in touch with service to Krishna is eternal. Okay, purport. Krishna conscious movement is factually endeavoring to bring human society to a sober condition. Because of misdirected civilization, people are jumping in materialistic life like cats and dogs, performing all sorts of abominable sinful actions and becoming increasingly entangled. This Krishna conscious movement includes self-realization, because one is first directed by Lord Krishna to understand one is not the body, but the owner of the body. When one understands a simple fact, he can direct himself toward the goal of life, because people are not educated in terms of the goal of life. They are working like madmen and becoming more and more attached to the material atmosphere. The misguided man accepts material condition as everlasting and must give up this faith in material things and give up attachment for them. Then one will be sober and peaceful. Verse 27. The great sage Narada continued, my dear king, attentively receive from me a mantra, which is most auspicious. After accepting it from me in 7 nights, you will be able to see the Lord face to face. Verse 28. My dear king, in former days, Lord Shiva and other demigods took shelter of the lotus feet of Sankarsana. Thus, they immediately got free from the illusion of duality and achieved unequaled and unsurpassed glories in spiritual life. You will very soon attain that very same position. So I have one last thing I'd like to read to you. This is about, we heard about how the soul is eternal, and
And to accept it philosophically when somebody dies, but it becomes more real if someone leaves and then he comes back to tell you about it. It makes it easier. So here I have an example of somebody doing that. Of course, we heard one example, I think Dhamma Krishna told us. It's somebody's uncle died and then he came back and told the girl. So this example is Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj himself. And this is from Lokanath Swami. You know this letter? Yeah. So Lokanath Swami wrote this, and he says, "Finally, the inevitable has happened. The thought that we would not meet again together in Mayapur, at Gita Nagari, or at the Dev Nomorsk festival in Russia is unbearable." So he's expressing his grief. "I had read the announcement of your ambitious travel plan sometime at the end of the last year, to my sorrow that didn't materialize. Then you also surprised me by choosing to end your manifest pastimes in the West. You didn't come to Mayapur. I had planned a trip to come to the U.S. in the beginning of June, but that was cancelled. In the meantime, you departed, so I never got a chance to see you, and I was full of woe. It was overwhelming, but you read my mind. You knew how I was feeling. I did not pay you a visit or even speak to you on the phone prior to your departure. So instead, you kindly came to me. You paid me a visit in a dream. There were just the two of us honoring prasadam. When I saw you next to me, my first surprised question to you was, 'Maharaj, what happened? We just had the news of your departure. Was that real? How come you're still here?' And you responded, 'I am on my way out.' You did not say, but I understood, that you were there not because you needed to be, but because I needed you to be there. Then I took advantage of your presence, and knowing that it was my last chance, I started glorifying you. Although you were unwilling, I made you hear me speak of your extraordinary contributions.' And the dream ended there." So that was one. The next morning, I was startled to read the report on Bhakti Charu Maharaj's latest conversation with you, wherein he quotes you, "Don't worry, even after I leave, I will come to you. We will continue to communicate with each other. You know, the physical plane is not the only plane for us to relate to each other." Then Lokanath Maharaj says, "Thank you, Maharaj, for taking the time to pay me a visit on your way back home. You read my mind and paid me that much-needed visit. I was relieved." So actually, another one devotee here in Vrindavan told me that she was missing Tamal Krishna Maharaj so much. And then after he left, 3 months after he left, he came to her in a dream. And he asked, "Do you recognize me?" She said, "Yeah, I recognize." He was very effulgent. She said, yes, I recognize you." And then he was telling her, "Please take care of my disciples, Karta here." Yeah. And then she said, "But why did you take so long to come?" And she was suffering for 3 months, she said. So anyway, this thing happened. So that you had a dream. Oh, Bhakti Tirtha Swami, yeah, many devotees.
It's not like very clear what it was that I dreamt what you did.
Right.
And I read some relation.
Right.
Say so much.
Right.
It was there when you were talking, but I also felt that Bhakti Tirtha Swami was there also.
Right.
It was feeling. Not because I told you that I haven't talking there.
So that's how they communicate. Then here's another one by Lokanath Swami. "I would like to tell of another of my recent dreams about you. That was around Nirjala Kadashi. The dream started with the temple inauguration somewhere on this planet. Gradually, that led to an experience of the spiritual world. I was in a place with temples everywhere, surrounded by forests and gardens. The grandeur and beauty was spectacular. I have seen so many temples like that in South India and elsewhere. This was another kind of experience altogether. It was out of this world. Many devotees were there, some of them ISKCON devotees. I especially remember Ravindra Sarup Prabhu and Devakinandan Prabhu. Everyone was in an ecstatic mood, jubilant and blissful. Shishi Panchatattva was there. Then the scene changed to another temple, another scene, another set of deities, bright and effulgent. A sublime scene I had never seen in my real life or in any dream experience. So while I was experiencing this scene, thinking that also to be the spiritual world, suddenly, at some distance, I heard loud and clear you were speaking. In a deep and grave voice, you were addressing a large assembly of devotees. I was jubilant to know you had attained the spiritual world. I started exclaiming, oh, he's here, he has reached. And in the dream, you were the resident and I was just a visitor. I came back down to the earth and the dream ended. As I got up, I was wondering whether this dream was an indication of your departure, and I immediately downloaded the daily update from your website. I was relieved to know you were in Giranagari having a pizza party with Radhanathaswami Maharaj. So, I'd been thinking of communicating or writing to you for another reason. Since I knew you were on the way to Krishna, I thought you could take a message or complaint back to him. Why are you taking away our best men? They are needed the most as they are contributing the most. So then that was, as I had been composing this letter, I've been thinking how pleased Srila Prabhupada must be with you. In every way you fulfilled your duty to him as a preacher, a public relations man, author, guru, godbrother. You have set an example for us to aspire to. So that's not the end, but that's how much I'll read. So any questions or comments on today's verses? I approve. You have a comment? No. Question. To progress in spiritual life, you have to rise above the dualities and become attached to Krishna.
And rise above the duality, you have to become attached to Krishna.
Okay, in order to rise above the dualities, we have to become attached to Krishna. And in order to become attached to Krishna, we have to rise above the dualities. In order to rise above dualities, we have to become attached to Krishna. So both ways.
Yes, so the question is it like walking with 2 feet, a little bit of that and a little bit of that, a little bit of that, and more of this?
Oh, okay.
Is there a beginning around this?
Okay, so the question is, do we have to go this way and then that way, become attached and get above the dualities, and then go this way and then go that way? That's the question. Yes.
It's a gift.
It's a gift. Kripa.
It's not a result of our activity.
Yeah, it's not a result of our activity.
There's no material cause for bhakti.
Okay, no material cause for bhakti.
It can be just given by bhakta or bhakti.
Yes. But what can we do? Okay, there's no material cause for bhakti. But then what if, you know, what do we do? Just sit and wait and for it to drop on our heads? So, mercy? Mercy cloud, yes?
Vinamahapada
Rajo Pisheka. Okay, serve the pure devotee, yes?
Just like Krishna is giving us guru.
Krishna is giving us guru and guru is giving us Krishna. So two things are working side by side. Yes? Bhanu Maharaj giving class on nectar devotion.
Then the Bhakti Lata Drona, first sometimes they give up this Klesha Agni or Subhata.
Okay, first
they get attachment to Krishna or someday we get detached from that.
Okay, so when the Bhakti Lata is growing, sometimes you get Klesha Agni and then Subhata. Both of them are coming.
Actually, this together. For some people, Subhata will come first and some people.
So for some people, Subhata will come first, and for some people, Klesha Agni will come first. How do you get the mercy? Yeah. Yes? A different question? Are you happy with those answers? The same one. Different answer. Okay, that's all right. Desham satatayuktanam vajitam vittigurukam. Those who are constantly devoted with love. Okay, if we have the right attitude, then Krishna will help us. That is his advice. If we have the right attitude, even if we're not so attached, but if we have the right mood, or the right attitude, the right way of going about it. Actually, something keeps sticking in my mind when you ask that question. As I read somewhere where Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you must cultivate the positive of the 5 angas of devotional service. At the same time, you must try to free yourself from anarthas. 2 things must go on simultaneously. So we have these dualities that we have in our heart. So we have to strive for the attachment of Krishna following the regular principles, deity worship, these five angas, chanting Hare Krishna. At the same time, we have to stop, try to give up the anarthas, work on it in some way. Attentive chanting is, yes. Okay, the dualities appear in the mind when the senses interact with their objects.
So when the senses are purified by the process.
Okay, the senses are purified by the process.
The perception of dualities also changes.
And the perception of dualities changes. What happens, sometimes you don't experience it, but you have it in your mind still. It still comes in your mind, the dualities and the desires. Yes?
You started saying that the only one can achieve liberation, who will understand the process of emerging in ignorance and then process of liberation as well.
Okay, you must understand the process of ignorance and liberation side by side.
So that is not recommended by personal experience, it is recommended through listening about others' experience from Bhagavatam.
You don't have to experience it, you don't have to get married and have children and lose your son like Chichiketu, but you can hear about it. You can hear about other people's, like we gave our experiences as well, so you don't have to go through it. Go through the dualities of grihastha life.
Separate commands, like
okay.
Fifth
and sixth cantos.
We have like this bhakti is ahaiti after the time, it's continuous forever, like life after life in
Bharat, Jadavarat,
Maharaj.
Yes, so bhakti is a haituki patiyata, continues life after life, Jadavarat, three lives. Yes, Vritrasura, two lives. It's a comment, okay? Then we can notice this, yes, it's a city. Bhakti comes from bhakti. Okay, as we engage in the process, then more and more we rise above dualities. So there's a process, shraddha to prema. And as we go through that process, then we become, just by going through the process automatically, we get attached to Krishna. If you're attached to Krishna, then that means you're above dualities. If you're attached to Krishna. So bhakti, the purpose of bhakti, the purpose of sadhana bhakti is to attach us to Krishna. Maya sakta manata. Yes, devotional service, no material cause, and it's not material.
If you do sadhana, certainly we should.
Yes, if we're trying to sincerely practice sadhana bhakti, we should be assured Krishna will reciprocate. Srila Prabhupada used to say, we chant 16 rounds and follow the four regulative principles.
The danger here, I see, like somebody say, oh, it's so, it's, I cannot, how to say, have some influence on the devotional.
Yes, some people are hopeless and helpless. Yes?
So I just wait, I do what I like, and Krishna in more life will give me.
Yeah, so he's saying some devotees, they say that, what can I do? I'm hopeless and helpless. I just have to wait for the mercy and surely Krishna will... Actually, I had one devotee say to me when I was telling about how, you know, you have to endeavor in some ways in sadhana bhakti. She was saying, but I thought, you know, you just get embraced by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and that's it. I said, well, where is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to embrace you? But some people think like that. It's not that easy. Yes.
The qualification is here. Which was mentioned to achieve bhakti is ruchi or
qualification to achieve bhakti is
lavanyam or
lokam. Okay.
But that is not also material thing.
That's also not material. You cannot purchase by thousands of births of pious activities.
Yeah, but that
volume can be achieved from someone who has it.
You have to go to someone who has it.
And to achieve it from him, we have to have shraddha.
And to achieve it from him, you have to have?
Shraddha.
Shraddha, yes, shraddha. So the price is shraddha.
That's the beginning.
In different levels. So according to your level of shraddha, you can pay the price of what you want. But often our problem is that we want something higher than the amount of shraddha we have. This is the problem of most people in spiritual life, is they want, you know, okay, I want prema, I want bhava, but your shraddha is down in bhajanakriya or something. So you cannot purchase, you don't have the amount of shraddha to purchase the level that you want. Yes?
This is a continuation of condition material life. Just as oftentimes materialists live off on a higher terms of living.
Yes, yes. Materialists, they often live on a higher, because they have credit cards.
Yes.
So they buy everything on credit and they pay later. So they're living on a higher level than they actually can afford.
So
we keep that mood when we join ISKCON.
And we tend to believe that we are more advanced.
And we think we're on a higher level. Yeah, it was so funny. When I first joined and I asked Pradum, he was telling me, oh yes, all the levels. And I said, well, what level are you on? And he said, Ruchi. It was so funny. I was very direct. Yeah.
The tendency of Kanishtha Adhikari, he wants to have only great heroes around.
Yes.
To be
he must. The Kanishtha wants to have great heroes around him.
He doesn't want to.
He wants to serve the best.
Yes. Yeah, so but because there is lack of those, he will imagine everyone around him a great hero and glorify them, and he will create illusory. High position.
Okay, he will make them higher than they are. He will imagine that they are in a higher position so that he can be in a higher position as well.
And then he will forget who made them so high. And after some time, then he will lose faith in them. He will criticize them that they.
And he will, after some time, criticize.
And then he will lose faith.
Lose faith. Adiprush. Oh, that you could have a seminar on that, I think, you know. How do the levels of shraddha differ from Vajanakriya, Artanavritti, and Ruchi? I would like to know myself the levels of, but if you read Madhurya Kadambini, I think you will get a clue. You will get a clue of the levels of shraddha there, or the symptoms to look for. We know in Anishtita Vajanakriya there are 6 levels of shraddha. The one, you're over-enthusiastic, and I think the first level. And then the last one, you're enjoying the waves of bhakti. Like you're getting all these facilities, and you're getting attached to the facilities of bhakti. So you're getting faith. Oh yeah, I get so much facility here if I just do some devotional service. Yeah, so it's fragile in the beginning. And then when you get to past that, anartha nirvritti, but there's 5 more symptoms before you get to nishtha. Yeah, one is that symptoms that you're not at nishtha, that we know, that you sleep when you're not supposed to sleep, and you sleep during japa, kirtan. I can't remember. Yeah, she will cover it in her seminar, Madhurya Kadambini. All these. You know that Rasa Swad, attachment for material things. Ashaya. Sinful reaction. Kashaya. Yes, Kashaya. So this is. These are symptoms that there's some mixture with your shraddha. Like you still have some material, and then you have some spiritual also. So your shraddha is a bit mixed. And then when you get to Ruchi, then it becomes much better. Then you lose. Then you lose your shraddha in the. You have nadanam, najanam, nasundari. You lose your shraddha in these things, and you have more attachment for the name, chanting the holy name. And you can chant constantly by that stage. You have great faith in the holy name. on the stage of, even on the stage of Nishta, you have great faith in the holy name. And then on Ruchi, you also have asanti means you're attached to. Remember, there's a verse in Nectar Devotion, and there's that one verse which describes Baba, but also it describes the levels before Baba. I mean, the things that are included in Baba, which can be experienced at some lower levels. I don't know. I don't have the exact Sanskrit, but if you study that verse, I remember Ruchi Namagana Sada Ruchi. That verse. It tells. One time I was just looking at that verse and I was seeing, oh, this is Chanadapi Sunichi, you know, and this comes also on Nishta, then this part comes on Ruchi. There's one, what is Ruchi? I forgot. No, I know that. But I mean, Ruchi is Tadvasati Stale, is that it? Or is that Asakti? Asakti is Tadvasati. Namagana Sada Ruchi. So Ruchi is when you have faith in the holy name and you always want to chant the holy name constantly. And then asakti stad vasati stale. Asakti, then you have faith in the places where Krishna had his pastime. Your shatta is there. So this is one way to understand. Just studying this one verse, I saw, you know, different levels are there. Asakti, ruchi. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, faith, the transformation of faith in the awakening of realization.
Transformation of faith is awakening of realization.
But in the beginning we have faith, then there is, we somehow know.
Yes, so at the beginning we just have a little, okay, it's here.
The experience is like we have that much experience,
yeah.
Therefore we have that faith and that much experience. Yeah. So as there is progress in the devotional service, then there are realizations that come. Then the faith becomes transformed.
Yes, as we progress, our faith transforms. So I think the nicest way to understand it is to study Shikshastakam and see the levels of Shikshastakam. The third one is Nishta, the fourth one is Ruchi, and you see the symptoms there. And then that one verse about Bala, you can see what is the symptoms of faith on different levels and the symptoms of change of heart. Like this is what you reject, these things don't disturb you anymore, and this is what you're attached to. And how to get there is a very long journey, yes. 2 points. Okay, in the beginning it's based on intelligence. Then later on it's spontaneous attraction. Yes, Devamrita Prabhu was giving a Bhagavad Gita class, someone told me about a few days ago, and he was saying now it's time to get up in the morning and your senses and your mind is telling you no, I want to sleep. I'm tired. I had a hard day. I couldn't sleep last night. I don't want to get up. And your intelligence says, no, you must get up. It's time for puja. It's Brahma Muhurt, the very auspicious time. So it's like that at the beginning. Your intelligence and your senses have got a battle there. Or if you have a roommate, he may be your intelligence. And say, Prabhuji, time to get up. Like that. So if you have a very nice roommate who can be your intelligence for you, and inspire you to get up in the morning for Mangalarti, whatever. So first is intelligence and later on it's spontaneous.
And, just to come to the point of Shraddha.
To come to the point of Shraddha, the first one.
Yes, because then it's requires mercy.
It's okay, the first level is mercy, the first Shraddha.
Throughout it's mercy.
And throughout it's mercy. Okay, it can be knowingly or unknowingly serving a pure devotee, and then you get shraddha. Yeah.
The seed of bhakti,
right. So you get it. Yes.
Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing the discussion in Jayavadharma.
Jayavadharma discussion, Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Between Premdas Babaji and Vaishnavdas
Babaji. Premdas Babaji and Vaishnavdas Babaji.
So that he said, I can only give you a hint on those topics.
Mm-hmm.
Even I can give only him, but you can actually understand it only when you go and perform bhajana.
Okay, I can only give you hint, but you can really only understand it when you experience it.
And it's a few times it
in bhajana.
Repeat in Jayavadharma, it's a few different Babaji's, Vaishnavas. After they perform bhajana, they come back and they
they say that they actually understood. So Premdas Babaji said, don't go to the people and don't ask their opinion. You have to go and perform bhajana, chant mantra.
Okay, he said, don't go to the people and ask their opinion. You have to chant. You do bhajana and you chant your mantra.
Those Vaishnavas, they were on a very high level, so they would come back in a few days and reveal their experience of spiritual world. But here, Narada Muni is also giving him.
Yes, Narada Muni is giving hint here.
He's going to give mantra. Which will work within after seven days. Chitraketu is supposed to see Lord face to face. So
7 days.
So the understanding of those levels like Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, Prema, it should go through Bhajana Kriya actually.
Yes.
Not through
should go through Bhajana Kriya. Okay. Haribol, I'll go to